Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Time for you some football here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Ravens back at it coming up in about 20 minutes. Training camp. Week number two, preseason opener coming up next week against the Indianapolis Colts. Got the joint practice a week from today against Indy as well. So we're creeping closer, everybody, to the start of the 2025 NFL regular season. For Todd Monken, however, a subject for him that's been kind of a sore subject, saw it yesterday at practice, pre-snap penalties. So Todd Monken, how does this happen?
There really isn't anything different other than we're starting back up again, and it's hot. And we got a number of guys going in the game. Sometimes it's the quarterback that, you know, he takes a little bit of time at the line of scrimmage, you know, more than he should. And then all of a sudden you're making calls at the line, and you may forget you're on a different cadence. You know, it's all of those things are a part of it. And but I'm not going to give in. We're going to fight like heck to be good at why can't we be elite at cadence? Why can't we? If other teams can, we sure as heck can be and should be.
Well, that's kind of his job, right? Todd Monken, to make sure that they are among the premier teams in that area and to cut down on the pre-snap penalties and to get the communication and the cadence right. I don't foresee this, Nolan, being a season-long problem, but then again, still dealing with it in the early stages of training camp. And if we see it rear its ugly head in the noise in Buffalo September 7th, then, you know, then we're going to have something else to complain about, unless the Ravens win, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a talking point for two reasons. One, it was a good thing. The Ravens were so great on offense last year, so efficient as a team, that really wasn't many areas that you could point to and say, well, that's something that needs to get cleaned up, you know, in terms of player performance. So you kind of go to the little stuff. How many games last year we say, oh, the Ravens beat themselves, the other team didn't beat them? It almost got annoying to say it so much, but because of the penalties, it felt true more often than not. And the other side of it is that, well, I mean, yeah, it cost you some games, and it wasn't just nitpicking. It was a pretty high amount of penalties. Quickly looking here, rough count last year, the Ravens had 140 penalties called against them. 45 of them were committed by the offensive line.
Yeah. So is it a Lamar thing? Are they not on the same page when it comes to the pre-snap things? But tighten it up. And I have faith that that thing will take care of itself when it's all said and done. Now, wide receivers, and we were talking about this earlier, when Zay Flowers went down I mean, it did not help the Ravens' cause, even though Bateman was outstanding in the Buffalo playoff game. But now you have some more reinforcements here with D-Hop, another year with Tez Walker, Tyler Wallace. You know, he's a contributor, not in a big numbers way, but he helps when called upon to do so. Todd Monken was asked what he expects out of the wide receivers here in 2025.
Our skill group can be elite, and they were elite in 2024. It remains to be seen what will be in 2025 as an offensive staff and as an offensive team. Now, do I anticipate that those guys will play at an elite level? I do. But that remains to be seen. I mean, we haven't played the 2025 season yet. I forgot the rest of it because once I kind of got fired up about that, I spoke about it in the offseason like you'd rather have too many players that want the ball than not enough or that deserve it, right? You want that. You want to be able to try and balance touches. Because that's what they want is skilled players. But without a doubt, we should be in a position to where we can keep guys fresh. We can vary personnel groups like we did last year.
Now, last year, Zay Flowers, I'm just talking about targets here, Nolan. 116 in 17 games, 74 receptions. Rashad Bateman had 72 targets and 45 catches. But he scored 9 touchdowns. Flowers scored 4. That's great. Andrews had 11 at the tight end spot. Should we expect to see the target share be a little closer between Bateman and Flowers here? And even at tight end, Andrews had 69-58 talking targets for Likely. That's kind of close. But at wide receiver, does Bateman get a little more and Zay a little less unless the Ravens go full on 81 Chargers here throwing the football?
You would think that it would be a little more balanced. Throw Isaiah Likely in there as a fourth name. Let's just say those four. It'll be the same last year as it will be this year. Your core top four targets for Lamar Jackson. I would like to see a little more balance. Now, we know Lamar. He likes to settle in on certain guys. He has at times in his career. A few years ago, Mark Andrews was that 100-target type of guy at the tight end position, which is almost crazy to think about. But Zay Flowers hit the ground running as one of Lamar's top options. Hollywood Brown in the past was a top option for him. So I think it serves the entire unit better. It serves the entire team better if there's a little more sharing the wealth, if you will. Opposing defenses can't zero in on just one or two guys, try to take them out of the game, and then neutralize your offense. At times in the past, that was the case. But you would say that behind a Mark Andrews or a Hollywood Brown, there really wasn't much talent. Now there is. So the threat of it is there. And we haven't even talked about the run game yet. So sure. I still think that there's such a big threat here that there shouldn't be an issue. But if you're looking to nitpick and maybe try to improve slightly off of last year, I think a little more balance and sharing the wealth would go a long way.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, American League East report. Tell you what happened in the division last night. What's happening today? Orioles up 2-0. Top of the third against Toronto. Game one of this doubleheader. And then Miles Simmons, ProFootballTalk.com. Preview the season with him a little bit. And, you know, talk about that AFC East. Buffalo's won in a bazillion years in a row. Who challenges them the most, if anyone does, here in 2020?
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves. Swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Goodbye.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Last night, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Orioles beat the Blue Jays 11-4. Third win in a row. Coby Mayo, Cedric Mullins, Ramon Laureano, Colton Cowser all hit home runs. Bullpen, scoreless. Allie Rutschman, 3-for-5. Couple of ribbies. Jordan Westberg, 3 hits. So the Orioles win that game. Now you got game one going on in the doubleheader as we speak today. And it is 2-1 Orioles over the Blue Jays. Where are we at here? Top of the third, it looks like. And Ramon Urias just threw one into the cheap seats as the Orioles are trying to make it 4 straight overall and 2 in a row against the first place Blue Jays. Charlie Morton is on the hill. Easton Lucas is on the mound for the Toronto team. Tyler O'Neill and Cedric Mullins with sack flies for the Orioles. We had bases loaded, nobody out in the top of the first inning, but still early in that one. Coming up later on in the afternoon or into the evening is game two of said doubleheader. 6:35 scheduled first pitch. Eric Lauer, 6-2, 264 lefty for the Blue Jays, to be determined for the Birds. But Brandon Young was called up to be the 27th man. And Tony Manzolino said before the game that it's either going to be him or a bullpen game. But he's going to factor in some capacity, you would assume, in the nightcap here. Elsewhere in the division yesterday, the Tampa Bay Rays, who we just talked about a few minutes ago, took on the Yankees. And the Yankees are on the struggle bus. And Tampa helped that cause last night.
And a high fly ball back into deep left. Dominguez will go to the track, to the wall. That baby's gone. Home run off the bat of Junior Caminero.
FanDuel on the call. Diaz and Lowe had ribbies as well. Rasmussen picked up his 8th win of the season as the Rays beat the Yankees 4-2. New York, they're in a tough way, as we said. Injuries are really starting to catch up to them. Aaron Judge going to be out for a little bit. You know, maybe the Yankees could make a move on Cedric Mullins as they look to add some depth to that outfield. They need some punch in that lineup for sure. The Red Sox taking on the Twins last night. Minnesota, there's a long rain delay. And then a guy named after a Baltimore legend was legendary in the bottom of the 9th.
Line to left field, slicing, and that's a fair ball. Twins are going to win this game. Gasper scores, Castro scores, and the Twins win in walk-off fashion. Brooks Lee does it again. 5-4 the final. Twins win.
Twins TV, as you can tell on the call. Brooks Lee, as you heard, game-winning hit. Bottom of the 9th inning, a walk-off hit at that. Kiersey hit a 2-run homer earlier in the game for Minnesota. Alex Bregman had a 3-run shot for Boston, but it was Twins edging the Red Sox 5-4. Games today, well, the Orioles at Toronto in action. And then again at 6:35, Tampa at New York again, 7:05. Same with the Red Sox at the Twins. That one is 7:40. Standings update in the American League East and beyond here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Heading into today, Toronto, they've lost 2 in a row, but still one of the hottest teams in baseball. They're 5.5 up on New York, 6.5 on the Red Sox. The Rays are 9 back, Orioles 14.5 out there. Tigers 9 games up on the Guardians and 9.5 on the Royals. In the Central, Minnesota 10 back. Houston, 3 games up. They've lost 5 in a row, though. The Astros, they're struggling right now as well. They're 3 games up on Seattle, 4 up on the Rangers. Angels still clanking around, kind of 8 games off the pace. Mets are 1.5 up on the Phillies. Marlins 11 back. Everyone else, see you later. Brewers, they're on fire. They beat the Cubs last night. Now up a game in the NL Central and out West. Padres have won 3 in a row, but still chasing the Dodgers, who are 4 games up. And that one, San Francisco's lost 4 in a row, 8 of 10. They're falling back. Not by the wayside, but they're falling farther and farther from first place. The wild card standings, Yankees, Mariners, and Red Sox would be in. Rangers are only 1/2 game out. Tampa 2.5. See, Cleveland's 4 out, Nolan. So they're in that kind of, we're in it, are we, are we not? Are we? I mean, what's the deal? They're 4 out. Angels 4.5. Royals 4.5. Twins 5. Orioles are 8. Orioles are 8 games back, Nolan. Is there anything that could happen as we had to say the first week. By the time the Ravens play their preseason opener on the 7th of August, if the Orioles are where the Twins are, are we feeling something here? Or is it, I mean, what is it? Indigestion?
Do we lightheaded?
Need, do we need a Tums? What's the deal?
Yeah, no, the ship has sailed.
Yes.
The bid has been retired. They're not back.
Yeah, we've got it. And they never
until spring training.
Yeah.
Then they'll be back.
Well, and next year, I think they're going to be in the playoffs. There you go. Hot take on a hot Tuesday. National League, Cubbies, Phillies, and Padres are the wild card. The Reds, they're two games back. St. Louis, 3.5. Giants are 4, and everybody else hoping for stuff. Hoping for miracles to get into the postseason. Orioles 2-1 over Toronto Blue Jays. Ramon Laureano just singled to lead off bottom of the third. Keep you up to date on the score. Don't forget Baltimore baseball tonight. Getting you ready for game 2. Live from Pickles Pub. Me, Nolan, and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. Come on down. Say hello. But when we come back, Miles Simmons. Talk football with him as he's with ProFootballTalk.com. AFC East, it's Buffalo's division to lose. But if they were to lose it, who's taking it from him? He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show. As we talk about camps underway, you got preseason games starting soon enough. He is Miles Simmons. Miles, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore again.
No problem. Happy to do it.
All right. Now, the American League East, AFC East, which has been owned by the Buffalo Bills for many, many years here. And they're expected to win it again, maybe comfortably, Miles, when it's all said and done. But if, as we look at the rosters, the way they're put together on July 29th, if there's a team that could challenge them, maybe even overtake them for division supremacy, who would you pick right now?
I don't know that I would really, it's tough. I mean, because I think Miami is probably the closest, but I think Miami is still pretty far away when it comes to things like that. I would have to say them, but you'd have to have Tua Tagovailoa be healthy for the entire season, which, as we know, is certainly not really a given. And so because of that, I mean, yeah, it's hard because I don't really have much faith in the Jets being a really, really good team right now. You know, I mean, Aaron Glenn, first year head coach, and you got Justin Fields, and we'll see how he does there. And then Mike Vrabel, yeah, I believe in him as a coach, but I don't know what the Patriots' talent level is, even though Mike Vrabel teams usually punch above their heads. So it's hard for me to say that any one team's really going to challenge the Bills this year, especially with Josh Allen coming off an MVP season and yet another time where they lose to the Chiefs in the playoffs. It just feel like that team should be motivated to continue their dominance.
Now, Super Bowl or bust around here, just don't tell John Harbaugh because he really doesn't like hearing that term in regards to the Ravens. But aren't the Bills kind of in the same boat as Baltimore? Like, Ravens can't beat the Bills in the playoffs. Bills can't beat the Chiefs. I mean, it's all this crazy stuff, but I'm not saying McDermott's on the hot seat and certainly not with Josh Allen either. But if Buffalo doesn't get over the hump of Kansas City, I mean, how do you view the season unless you're getting to Santa Clara this year for Baltimore? We're in the Bills right now.
I mean, I think that it should be Super Bowl or bust for those two teams, right? I mean, they have MVP quarterbacks. They have pretty much everything you would want offensively and defensively. It's just, can you put it together in the most critical times in order to get to Santa Clara this year? And I don't know. I mean, until Patrick Mahomes doesn't do it, then it's kind of like, well, you might have to assume that he's going to continue to do it. And, you know, Joe Burrow is the only player currently in the AFC, only quarterback, I guess I should say, who has been able to beat Mahomes in that AFC championship game situation and advance to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady obviously being the other, but that was almost ancient history, right? I mean, at this point, you know, he played his last few years with the Bucks, and now he's been retired for a couple years. So it's interesting when you look at it that way. I mean, I think that you have to be able, if you are Baltimore or Buffalo, to say, hey, we need to make it at least to the Final Four, right? If we don't make it to the Final Four, then it probably is not a successful season for the two of us. But if we do, then, yeah, we then have to beat Kansas City because – I don't know about you, but I feel like we can assume that Kansas City is going to be in the AFC Championship game until they're not, right? And we'll see what happens after that. But you have to be able to at least make it to the Final Four, I think, for any one of those teams to constitute a successful season.
Now, Miles, you mentioned the Bengals, and it looks like they have a Stewart drama, you know, all wrapped up. Still got the crazy stuff with Hendrickson, who wants to get paid and is holding out of training camp. And they get off to these slow starts every year. So Cincinnati, you know, as they Bengals themselves through the offseason, do they have the wherewithal to challenge Baltimore for AFC North supremacy? And we know their offense is good, Miles, but do they have enough overall to maybe throw themselves in the mix when we talk about KC, Baltimore, and Buffalo here?
Yeah, it's a good question, I don't know. I mean, they have to get off to a better start. One of the things that they said that they're going to do in order to try and make that happen is to play guys more in the preseason. I don't know how much that's really going to help you. I mean, you know, you look at different teams, and they obviously have different strategies. Andy Reid with the Chiefs, he always plays guys in the preseason, does his best to not get them hurt, but sometimes they do. Look at Hollywood Brown last year. And then you have guys on the other end of the spectrum with the Sean McVay, who never plays anybody of consequence in the preseason. And the Rams have not, you know, gotten off to particularly poor starts over the course of his entire tenure. So there are different ways to approach that. I think that Cincinnati trying to switch things up to get off to a faster start makes sense. I don't necessarily think that's going to be the, I don't know, magic elixir or anything, especially when you have such a distraction with Trey Hendrickson. I mean, that's your best defensive player, somebody that has had 17.5 sacks each of the last 2 years. That mark led the league in 2024, and you can't figure out a contract with him. And if you're at this point and you don't want to pay Trey Hendrickson, you know, pretty much top of the market, right? Right now, I believe he's set to make something around $15-16 million for 2025. And you got guys at the top of the market that are making an average annual value of 40, right? That's just not something that's going to work. So if the Bengals don't want to pay him close to the market rate, don't want to guarantee him that, then they need to trade him. And frankly, they should have traded him way before, so that then, you know, you also get Shamar Stewart in there, which now he finally is, but you can prepare him to basically be the replacement. What they've done this offseason when it comes to the red rushers just has not made much sense to me. And frankly, I don't know how much that is going to really help them, especially when, you know, the lights come on in September.
Miles Simmons, ProFootballTalk.com, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Nolan McGraw as well. Oh, this Turn It Up Tuesday. You mentioned the Chiefs. And, you know, look, they're the kings of the AFC, as you said, Miles, until someone says they aren't. But when we look at the Chargers or the Broncos, two playoff teams last year, who would you have, or who do you have more faith in right now, being able to challenge Kansas City in a real way for division supremacy there?
That's a good question. I would have to go with the Broncos. I think both of these teams have holes and have issues. I think one of the issues that is going to be with the Chargers is just going to be the offensive system. Like Greg Roman, is y'all know him well in Baltimore, right? I mean, he's a guy that's going to craft a really, really good running offense, but how well are they going to be able to pass it? And, you know, especially now when you have a guy like Mike Williams who retired, I don't know what that passing game is going to look like. You got a lad McConkey, that's really good, but you need somebody else who is going to be able to really help facilitate that passing game. And frankly, Justin Herbert also needs to step it up in critical situations. I mean, I don't know that he's gotten enough criticism for the terrible performance that he had against Houston in that playoff game. So that's one element of it. But I also, I guess, have a little more faith in Sean Payton to put a really good team around a guy like Bo Nix. I mean, those two guys seem very connected. They seem like they make sense as a quarterback and head coach combination. And then that defense did definitely start to improve over the course of time. And now we'll see what Bo Nix does in year two. I think them getting Cortland Sutton signed to a long-term extension, that's a pretty good thing for him, you know, create that stability with the quarterback and receiver. So I would say it probably is the Broncos. But, I mean, Jim Harbaugh also is a very, very good coach, and he can squeeze the most out of that talent. So I could see either one, but I'll at least give you a real answer and say the Broncos.
All right, Miles, last thing for you. Let's go to the NFC West real quick. Kyler Murray said the knee feels like it did pre-injury. I mean, Arizona showed a pulse last year for sure. I mean, the Rams, I guess, are the favorites. San Francisco healthy, who knows? And then Seattle with Sam Darnold coming in. But what about Arizona as we look for like a pesky team that could come out of nowhere and make, say, a Commanders-like run in 2025? Where would Arizona rate in your eyes?
I don't know if they'll have a Commanders-like run. I mean, I don't think – I think, you know, Jaden Daniels, he's really special. I think Kyler Murray is a good player, right? And, you know, that's kind of the difference, you know, when you look at those two teams. But, you know, you've got Jonathan Gannon, another year of experience there. He's going into, what, his third year now with that team and that system. So that is kind of a differentiator, and we'll see what he's able to do there. But I don't know. I think, like you said, the Rams kind of the favorites there. We'll see how Matthew Stafford's back. He's got a back issue, hasn't been practicing early on in training camp, so we'll see how that goes over the course of the next couple weeks. But I expect the 49ers to be a lot better. I'm really unsure of what to make of Sam Darnold with the Seattle Seahawks, particularly because you no longer have Tyler Lockett there, you no longer have DK Metcalf there, and yeah, Cooper Kupp is there, but Cooper Kupp hasn't had a healthy season since 2021. That's kind of a mighty long time ago, especially in NFL years. But the Rams, you know, they've got guys that are up and coming on their defense. Jared Verse is a guy that I think we're going to be talking about more and more and more the more we see him play. And I think Devontae Adams going into that offense and being there with Puka Nacua, that's going to be a really nice 1-2 punch for Matthew Stafford to have, provided that he's healthy. So I see the Rams winning that division. I can see the Cardinals gap being pesky. I don't know if they're more than a 9-ish win team, you know, if that makes sense.
Miles Simmons, ProFootballTalk.com. Miles, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and we'll catch up with you before the season for sure.
Absolutely. Take care.
You got it, Miles Simmons. Everybody, we'll come back, give you an Orioles score update. It's good news so far. And then a quick funhouse trip. Inside Access takes over at 2. And then BBT live for Pickles. Me, Nolan, and Mike Bordick getting you ready for game 2 of this doubleheader, Birds and Blue Jays. Nolan, the Orioles have 4 sack flies. They've had the bases loaded, nobody out twice in this game. And hey, they put up 4 runs, but couldn't get that big inning rolling for sure.
No, very frustrating. And you said, you made an offhanded comment during the break, said we got to be getting close to record territory. I kind of said, what? No way. I mean, there's 4 sacks. There has to be some crazy, baseball is such a weird sport. There has to be some case of a team hitting like 7 or 8 in a game. Well, apparently the record is 5. So we're on record watch here, set by actually 3 different times. Mariners in 88, Rockies in 06, Mariners again in 08. Cases of 5 sack flies in a single game.
Well, right now the Orioles up 4-3. Toronto runner on first, one out. Top of the fourth, Charlie Morton is on the hill for the Orioles. And obviously Mancini would like to see him get deeper into the game, because starter for game 2, we think it's Brandon Young. But, you know, how deep's he going to get you in there? So right now, Morton seems to be laboring a little bit at a 1 winning drive, as Jair Alexander and Rashad Bateman both back at practice today. So there's some good news coming from the castle. Inside Access coming up in a matter of minutes, followed by BBT at 5:30, live for Pickles. Nolan, any closing thoughts, or are we going to the funhouse here?
Quick Draws Funhouse,
sponsored by the Smile Design Center, changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says, games like last night, just a reminder of what this Orioles team could really be, and makes all of the losing this year even more frustrating. I know that the 101-win Orioles from 2023 are still there somewhere. That kind of talent just doesn't disappear.
Nah, the core is still there. It's up to the general manager to supplement said core and hope Basayo turns out to be everything you had hoped he would be. Maybe revitalize Heston Kerstad to some level. There's still a ton of young talent on this ball club, but they need pitching, and pitching in a big way, and that's up to the GM to figure out how to get it done, because Morton, who's getting kind of rocked right now, Eflin maybe, Sagano, bullpen arms. I mean, arms are going to be scarce here for the Orioles just this season, and definitely understanding what you have to fill in the offseason of... Well, they didn't do it this year. That's why I guess a lot of people, Nolan, aren't real optimistic that Elias will do it next offseason.
Another text here talking about Cedric Mullins says, I don't know what the future holds for him, but if this is, in fact, his final ride with the O's, what a way to go out. Big game over the weekend. Does it again last night, both with the bat and his glove. No one more fun to watch on the Orioles when they were at their best, in my opinion. Similar to Austin Hayes, just happy he gets to experience, or got to experience, 2023 after surviving all the years of the rebuild. Always one of those players you'll root for as long as they aren't with a division rival.
No doubt about it. And look, they don't trade guys like Cedric Mullins to last place teams. They're going to contenders. And so he's going to gain wherever, Philly, whatever, Houston, who knows, Mets. He's gaining games in the standing. So to get in the postseason, I mean, that players want that ring. The ring is the thing. But yes, for him to leave Baltimore, it's going to be a bittersweet day. But onward and upward for him. And let's see, is Dylan Beavers the guy? Enrique Bradfield? Vance Honeycutt? Apparently not this year anyway, offensively. I mean, they've drafted a ton of outfielders. Let's start seeing some of these guys.
One more text for today. This one says, I was sick of talking about all these injuries this year as an excuse for the Orioles, but this has really reached a point where it's just absurd. 25-plus guys on the IL at some point in the season, that's just not sustainable, even if you had better depth. Some of my anger for Elias might need to be refocused at the team's training staff. So many minor soft tissue injuries, it just can't happen.
Well, they just brought in a new head trainer, so they addressed it that way. You know, sometimes you just have that bad luck. But the team that Mike Elias envisioned, whether it was good enough or not, we'll never know because it was never on the field at the same time. Gunnar didn't come out of spring training injured. Grayson won't throw a pitch for the Orioles here in 2025. Westberg missed 6 weeks. Kowser missed almost 2 months. Adley was on the shelf for a month. The injury excuse is real, but to what level? I guess that's up for your interpretation. Nobody expected the Orioles to be in last place in late July, but yet here they are. But they're trying to maintain this advantage they have right now. 4-3 over the Blue Jays. Top of the fourth. Toronto first and third. Two outs. Inside Access will keep you up to date on the score of this one. And then we'll be at BBT Pickles Pub, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, coming up at 5:30. For Nolan McGraw, I'm Bob Haney. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow for Woman Crush Wednesday. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Talk to you when we talk to you. For now, everybody, class dismissed.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.